Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making a Polish old-school DNB Reese patch in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the smart way, with minimal CPU load. So the goal is not just to make something heavy, the goal is to make something that actually works, in a real drum and bass session, sits under a breakbeat, and can be resampled into audio so you can keep moving fast. If you've ever built a bass patch that sounded huge for about 10 seconds, then started eating your CPU the moment you added drums and effects, this is the fix. We're keeping it lean, focused, and practical. First, set your project to 170 BPM. That's a very natural zone for this kind of DNB sound. Then get a drum break loop going right away. Don't build the bass in a vacuum. The Reese needs to react to the drums, especially the snare and the gaps in the break. That's where the groove lives. Keep your master clean, and leave yourself some headroom. You do not want to be building this bass with the master already slammed. Aim to keep things around minus 6 dB peak while you're designing. That gives you room to shape the sound without everything turning into a clipped mess. Now create two MIDI tracks. One is your Reese mid bass. The other is your sub. This split is important. In DNB, the Reese gives you the character, the movement, the attitude in the low mids. The sub gives you the weight and the foundation underneath. If you try to make one synth do everything, it usually gets messy fast. On the Reese mid bass track, load Waveeatable or analog. For beginners, Waveeatable is probably the easiest because you can see what's going on and shape it quickly. Start simple. Use two saw waves. Keep oscillator 1 at a solid level, and bring oscillator 2 in a little lower, with a slight detune. Nothing extreme. We want tension, not seasickness. If Waveeatable is your choice, set the filter to a low pass 24. Start with a cutoff somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz. That's just a starting point, because the exact spot depends on the break and the note range. The point is to keep the Reese dark enough to feel heavy, but not so close that it loses all movement. A classic Reese is really just a detuned harmonic cluster that feels alive in the low mids. That's why it works so well in old-school jungle and darker DNB. It gives you that constant pressure under the drums, but still lets the rhythm breathe. Now let's add movement. Keep it controlled. Use a slow LFO on the filter cutoff. Set the rate to something like half a bar or a full bar, if you want it very smooth. Don't overdo the depth. Small movement is what makes it feel alive. Big movement turns it into a wobble, and that's not the vibe here. You can also automate the cutoff by hand if you want more musical control. Tiny changes go a long way. In this style, a bass line doesn't have to do a lot to feel interesting. In fact, the strongest lines are usually the ones that feel simple but breathe with the groove. Now move to the sub track. This should be extremely simple. Use operator or analog and make it a pure sine wave. That's it. No fancy motion, no big stereo effect, no unnecessary processing. Just a clean sub that follows the same MIDI notes as the Reese. This is one of the biggest beginner mistakes in DNB, trying to make the sub do too much. Don't. The sub should stay centered, stable, and solid. If you want to add a touch of warmth, you can use a little saturator with very light drive, maybe 1 to 3 dB, and keep soft clip on. But even that is optional. The cleaner the sub, the easier the mix becomes. Now let's give the mid bass some character, without turning the patch into a CPU monster. After the synth, add a small effects chain. A saturator is a great start. Drive it a little, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and keep soft clip on. Then use EQ8. Cut out any useless low rumble below around 30 to 40 Hz, because that's sub territory and you don't need muddy extra information down there. If the sound feels boxy, dip a little around 250 to 400 Hz. If it needs more bite, you can give it a small boost somewhere around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Keep your moves small. We're shaping, not sculpting a completely different sound. If you want a little extra width or movement, you can add chorus ensemble or phaser flanger, but keep it very subtle. Think low mix, slow rate, just a touch of motion. The moment the stereo effect starts making the low end blurry, pull it back. And that's a key point here, less motion in the low end, more motion above it. That's how you get a bass that feels big without turning the mix into mud. Now comes the important part. Once the patch is close, print it. Resample it. This is where the workflow becomes really efficient. Create a new audio track called Bass Print, set the input to resampling, arm the track, and record your bass for 4 to 8 bars while the drums are playing. This is a big production move. When you resample, you freeze the tone, the movement, and the vibe into audio. That means you can stop stressing about live CPU and start editing like a drum and bass producer. You can chop it, reverse bits, duplicate notes, or mute tails. Audio editing gives you a lot of personality very quickly. Once you've recorded it, trim it tightly to the bar. Don't leave sloppy edges hanging around. A clean printed bass clip is much easier to arrange. If there are good individual hits in the recording, save them. You can turn one note into a stab, a fill, or a transition hit later. Now start editing the printed audio like it's part of a real D&B arrangement. Think in phrases. Think in call and response. Think about how the bass talks to the breakbeat. For example, you might have a long root note sitting under the first bar, then a short answer note near the end of the bar. In the second bar, maybe the bass slides or holds into the snare, then drops out briefly before a fill. That little bit of space can make the whole groove hit harder. A common old-school D&B move is to keep things repetitive, but vary just one thing every few bars. Maybe the note length changes. Maybe one hit is chop shorter. Maybe the second half bar goes silent before a fill. That's enough to keep the arrangement moving without overcomplicating it. Now let's talk low-end control. Use utility if needed. Keep the sub centered. If you're widening the mid-bass, make sure the low end is still stable. In mono, the bass should still feel strong. If it disappears, the patch is too wide, or the important energy is living in the wrong place. Use EQ8 on the printed bass if needed. Cut mud around 200 to 350 Hz if it's crowding the snare. If the sound is getting harsh, reduce a narrow band around 2 to 4 kHz. Always keep an ear on the drums. If the snare starts feeling smaller, the bass is probably taking over the wrong frequency area. Fix the bass first. Now automate for tension, not chaos. That's the secret. Open the filter gradually before the drop. Push the saturation a little harder before a switch up. Drop the bass out for half a bar before a fill. Those little gestures make the bass feel musical and intentional. A really effective move is to open the cutoff from around 250 Hz up to maybe 900 Hz over 8 bars during an intro or build. That creates a sense of movement without needing a brand new sound. You can also increase the drag slightly in the last 2 bars before the drop. Just a little, enough to create pressure. And here's a pro move. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is remove the bass for a moment. A half bar of silence before the snare fill can make the next hit feel massive. D&B lives on contrast. If everything is full all the time, nothing feels heavy anymore. At this point, do a quick reference check. Compare your bass to a track in a similar style, something old school, roller-ish, or darker D&B with a gritty Reese. Ask yourself a few simple questions. Is the sub clean? Does the Reese have enough low mid movement? Is it too wide? Is it clashing with the break? If the answer is yes to any of those problems, simplify. Reduce the unison. Back off the chorus. Ease the detune. Lower the resonance. Print another version if you need to. Sometimes the cleanest move is just to resample the sound and keep working in audio. One more important coaching note. Print earlier than you think. If the patch is already closed, record it and move on. In D&B, momentum matters. Endless tweaking can kill the energy of the session. Once it sounds good enough, commit. And don't be afraid to treat the resampled clip like a source sample. Reverse a tiny bit. Chop a note. Duplicate a stab. That kind of audio editing often gives you more personality than adding yet another synth layer. If you want to take this further, try making 2 versions of the bass, one cleaner and one dirtier. Use the cleaner one in the busier sections, and the dirtier one for end-of-phrase hits or drops. That kind of contrast sounds very effective in old-school style D&B. You can also create a call and response pair using 2 clips, one long and sustained, one short and aggressive. Alternate them every bar or 2. That's a classic way to keep the groove evolving without adding more instruments. For a simple practice exercise, build a new 170 BPM set, make a basic 2-bar breakbeat, create a Reese with 2 saws and mild detune, add a sine sub, play only 2 or 3 root notes, add saturator and EQ8, then resample 4 bars of the bass into audio. Cut it into a long note, a short answer note, and a half bar mute. Loop it against the drums and check it in mono. If it feels heavy, stable, and clear, you've got it. That means the bass is doing its job. It's not just sounding cool on its own. It's working inside a drum and bass arrangement. So remember the core workflow here. Build a simple Reese. Keep the sub clean. Print early and edit the audio like a real D&B phrase. That's how you get a bass that sounds polished, hits hard, and stays light on CPU. And honestly, that's the win. One strong resampled Reese, placed properly around the break, can carry a whole section of a track. That's proper drum and bass thinking.